In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then I said, Woe is me, for I am undone. Woe is me, for I am undone. The question for today is, have you seen Jesus? Turn with me back up a little bit, go to Job, if you would. Job chapter 42. You know, when I first got born again and started delving into the Bible, the book of Jeremiah seemed to be a place that I landed and seemed to have so much influence on my early thoughts as a Christian. And as I read through there and I saw passages like, What iniquities have I done that thy fathers have gone far from me? I thought, iniquity? God? What is the accusation here? What is it the people have found about you that would make them distance themselves from you? And I read that they that handle the law knew me not. And I looked around the people that called themselves Christians that I was surrounded with, and I thought, that's true. And Jeremiah said, They have committed two evils. They have forsaken the fountain of living water. Just him. And not only that, but they have dug for themselves cisterns. Broken cisterns that can hold no water.
Yeah.
And tears began to flow down my face as I read that for the first time and actually began to comprehend it. He's talking about his people. The right. People that are called by his name.
Right.
And I read where it said, They say to the stock, Thou art my father, and to a stone, Thou hast brought me forth. And I surveyed Christendom at that time, and I thought, That's true. Why did I think all these things? Because when I got born again, I saw Jesus. And I realized this charade that is going on is not conducive to the furtherance of the gospel. This is awful. And it raised up a passion in me that I want others to have. A passion for Jesus Christ, the true Jesus who is to be embraced and loved.
Amen.
Job chapter 42, the Bible says, Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from me. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? And this is a question that God had asked Job earlier on, isn't it? And Job is saying, Yes, who is he? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not. Things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand or ask of thee, and declare thou unto me. I'm beseeching you, Lord, you tell me. And listen to what he says here. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear. But now, mine eye seeth thee. Job saw him. You know, I've seen Christians and even new Christians that have just gotten born again, even up into elder Christians, and you look and you observe some of the actions. And you know, there's the giddy one who's just carefree, doesn't care much about anything, and just everything's just lofty and flighty. And I think, have you seen the cross?
Good.
There is a place for levity. There is a place for humor. Humor is like a medicine. But when you're always that way, when you can't gaze upon Christ and consider the cross, something's wrong. Then there's the others who are always full of dread, just always down and moping, always fearful of taking the next step or whatever it is. And I wonder, have you considered the resurrection? Have you thought we have a risen Lord? And I've noticed the casual and the indifferent who just walk through life and claim Christianity, yet you don't really see much. And I wonder, have you seen anything at all? These are the types that concern me. But then there's the passionate. There's the one with the proper combination of joy and fear. There's the ones who fear to offend God, who desire to walk in holiness and to do what's right. And God forbid that I should sin and bring reproach on the Lord.
Amen.
And the great joy of knowing that God has saved them and delivered their souls from eternal damnation. Who are the enemies of God? He didn't have to do that.
Right.
Every last one of us deserve the condemnation that we were headed for. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's what we deserve. And yet Christ delivers. Jesus said, "For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see might not see. Or that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind." Claiming to see is a very delicate thing. If you're claiming sight and walking in darkness, you're a liar. You're blind. And this is what Jesus was pointing out. Those that are walking in uncertainty and blindness, I have come to reveal myself to them that they might actually see me if they want me.
Right.
But those that say they see, they have laid out before them that which they think is right. And yet they're not following me, they're blind. We read about Job. This is a man whom the Bible calls perfect, upright, who feared God and eschewed evil. And after a little bit of experience with God, he said, "Oh, I've only heard up to now, but now I see." You say, "Oh, I get it. Now I get it." You know the difference? We hear the expressions all the time. "I hear you," or "I see." You know the difference between those? You can be talking to somebody and they say, "I hear you." And you think, "Yeah, you might hear me, but you're not listening." It's just the delivery of that statement. "Yeah, I hear you." But when you're talking to somebody and you see the lights come on behind their eyes, they go, "Ah, I see." That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about here this morning. When you see Jesus, when you get
it. Amen.
And I believe that right there is the problem with many Christians.
Yeah.
I believe they hear. I believe they'll even go through the motions of those things that they hear. But do they get it? Have they really gazed upon the crucified and risen Lord? Have they seen Jesus for who He is? That's why devotion is just so anemic in this hour. Devotion? Devotion? Yeah, devotion. "Oh, I'm devoted to Jesus." No, you're not. I mean, how obvious is it? You say you see. Are you really devoted to Jesus? devotion is anemic. Because few Christians really see Jesus. Now, I'm not talking about some perfect understanding, but I am talking about perfect love.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Loving Jesus with all our hearts, minds, souls, and strength. That's what that's what perfect love is. That's what loving Jesus is. Even though we see Him, and even if we are seeing Him, even if we have got it, you know, there's still the thought that we are seeing Him with human sight. We are comprehending Him through flawed understanding. So we must have room to grow. We don't reach an end of perfection. We see what we see of Jesus and we grab a hold to that and He reveals more to us. We must give over our intellect, our being, our strength to Christ. In this life, there's always going to be some imperfection in our perception, some missing component of complete understanding. But the more we strive to see Him as reflected in the Scriptures, the more complete His image will become to us. The better we'll be able to discern His purpose, His plan, His program.
Right.
And we, along with that man that Jesus healed that was blind from birth, and what he said, one thing I know. He didn't have a perfect understanding of everything, of even who Jesus was. He really didn't have a perfect understanding of that. I don't know whether this man's a sinner or not, he said. But one thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see.
Amen.
Because that's what Jesus is going to do for you when you see Him.
Right.
You're going to go, oh, whoa, I am undone.
Right.
That's what's going to happen. You're not going to walk boldly up to Jesus. You're not going to say, oh, I see Jesus. Yep, that's what I thought. No. When you see Jesus, if you have already seen Jesus, which I assume most of us have, but if you have gazed upon Him, your initial reaction is going to be, oh, I am undone. Look what Job said. Wherefore I abhor myself. I'm undone. I am not worthy of the least of His blessings. I'm undone. Have you seen Jesus? For now, we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, or love. These three, but the greatest of these is love. We have these lenses to look through, to triangulate Christ's position. Faith, hope, love. We can hone in on Him. We can examine Him. We can see Him for who He is. These three principles must be in operation in every Christian life. John Wesley calls these three principles the sum of perfection on earth. Faith, hope, and love. Faith, because without faith it is impossible to please Him. We must believe that He is, and He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You know, most people that say they believe that He is really don't believe that He is.
Right.
That He is what? Oh, that He's God. Do you believe He is this? Mm-hmm. Do you believe He is the encompassing representation of all that Scripture says about Him? Or just the pieces you like? We must believe that He is. Hope. Oh, we have that hope. That in our flesh we shall see God. love. This is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. God is love. His law is love. You want to know what love is? Look at God. You want to know what love is? Look at the law of God. Gaze into that perfect law of liberty and see love. The whole thing.
Amen.
So it's with this understanding that I want to talk to us today. The thing, have you seen Jesus? Have you seen this Christ? The book of 1 John, the apostle says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is."
Yeah.
Now, although this is speaking specifically of Christ's return, there is application for us today.
Right.
Because to some extent, an appearance of Christ has been revealed to us. He has revealed Himself through the Scriptures.
Right.
We have the Scriptures to look to as for the revelation of Jesus Christ. And even though we do not yet perfectly comprehend, when we do get glimpses of Him, shattered as they are by our infirmities, we can't help but be affected. That's why the prophet Isaiah couldn't help but to cry out, "I am undone!" Can't help but be affected. Well, how do you know that? How do you know? Because the very next verse says, "And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself."
Right.
Even as he is pure. The only people who will see Him are those who desire to gaze upon Him now. I think about Simeon in the temple, don't you? Who desired to see the consolation of Israel. It was his prayer before God. And he saw it.
Right.
Oh, it's just a little babe. How did he know? Because he saw Him.
Yeah.
He got it. So those who will see Him are those who search Him out in His revelation of Himself in the Word of God. You know, he that hath this hope purifieth himself. Purifieth is a continual action.
Right.
You're continually purifying yourself. Are we? Only if we're seeing Him. Only if we're keeping ourselves unsullied from that world. Only if we're keeping ourselves pure. Thoughts that are pure. Ideals that are pure. Walking in holiness and righteousness before Him, because that's what He demands.
Yeah.
Oh, people don't like that word that He demands. Jesus loves us. Yes, Jesus loves us. That's absolutely right. That's why He demands that you obey His law.
Right.
You know, we can hear of Him. We can make a profession of faith. We can even enter into that narrow way. But we really have no real hope of continuance unless we see Him. When we gaze upon Him and cling to Him. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice." He didn't say, "My sheep hear of me." He said, "My sheep hear my voice."
Right.
The Greek word is akouo. Hear. Hearing with understanding. You know what it means? My sheep get it.
Right.
So this is what we mean when I say we must see Christ. We have to see Christ. We must hear Him. Not hear of Him. Do you have this detached relationship with Jesus? Do you know of Jesus, but you really don't know Him? We must see Him. We must hear Him, not of Him. We must hear, not with physical ears and eyes, but with a spiritual understanding. We've got to say, I get it. Without a comprehensive understanding of what's here, Can't do that.
Right.
Now, there are certain things when you first get born again that are just obvious. It's like, oh, wow. I know I'm not going to be doing that again. I know I'm not going to be participating in those activities. It's instant. It's just like, oh, I already knew it. I was just disobeying.
Right.
But now we know. No, I'm sorry. Is that a perfect understanding of everything contained in here? No. It is a perfect understanding of walk this way and I will lead you. It is a perfect understanding of walk in the light as He is in the light and you will have fellowship with Him.
Amen.
That's simple. That's Christianity 101. I've been meditating on several instances by which we can examine ourselves to determine whether we indeed have seen this risen Lord. If we can say with Job, but now mine eyes seeth thee. If we can say with Isaiah, I'm undone. So think about these things. If we've seen Jesus, guess what? We're going to see ourselves as we really are. You want to see something loathsome? You get a proper understanding of who Jesus is and then look at yourself.
Yes.
Awful. Degrading. Immediately, Job said, I have bore myself and repent in dust and ashes. Now I have seen you with my eye. I repent in dust and ashes. I abhor myself. Did you come to that realization? Don't raise your hand. Just answer that in your own heart. Did you come to the realization when you saw Christ? Oh, I abhor myself. You should have. Job said, I have heard of thee. Adam Clark has this note about that. He says, essentially this is, I have now such a discovery of thee as I have never had before. I have only heard of thee by tradition or of imperfect information. Now the eye of my mind clearly perceives thee, and in seeing thee I see myself. For the light that discovers thy glory and excellence discovers my own meanness and vileness. You see, if that light is clicked on and you've seen Jesus, you know who you are. You know what you are. If you're still fending for yourself and defending yourself, friend, you hadn't seen Jesus.
That's right. Good.
You hadn't seen Him. We cannot see ourselves for what we are without seeing Him for who He is. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. You see the one? He beholdeth himself and then he just goeth his way. You see the other who looks into the perfect law of liberty? When we look into that perfect law of liberty, what do we see? Do we see a litany of rules and regulations? Do we see a standard that's just a little bit unreasonable? Or do we see Jesus? He is that law of liberty.
Right.
Look and continue looking. Being a doer of the work. Looking upon Jesus compels us to holiness. Look, if we're not compelled to holiness, we're looking elsewhere.
Right.
If holiness isn't your goal and intention, you know who you are? You're that man that goeth his way. Looking into the glass there and then walking away forgetting what kind of man you were. Why? The light hadn't come on. You hadn't seen Jesus. You don't get it. You want to see Jesus for who He truly is. You are going to see the utter destruction of self and the unhindered embrace of the Word of God.
Right.
There's no other way around it. You know, the bloodiest battle that you're ever going to fight is against your own will.
Right.
I don't want to, but I must. It's so hard. But Christ is here to succor us. He's our ever-present help in time of need. That's going to be a battle you've got to fight and that you've got to win. And look at this picture of Christ in Revelation. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And His name is called the Word of God. It's easy to say, I agree with the Word of God. That's easy. It's easy to say, yep, the Bible's my foundation. You know, it's also easy. Seeing cracks in that foundation. Other people seeing cracks in the foundation. We can say it easily. But have we fought that fight? Have we utterly deposed self? Or have we deposed Christ? There's only two options.
Right.
You know, Paul had heard. He had heard. He was a diligent student of the Scriptures. He had heard by the hearing of the ear. But when he saw, Paul was undone.
Right. The
Bible says, and saw yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. Went into the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. Oh, he was a student of the Word, wasn't he? Absolutely. Because if Jesus was a fraud, that was right.
Right.
That was exactly the biblical thing to do. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he trembling. Was there trembling when you saw Jesus? Was there astonishment? Trembling and astonished, he said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Was that your response? You saw Jesus and astonished. Lord, what do I do? See, when we're fighting against this, fighting against what we heard, what we know. You know, I heard of Jesus all my life. It may have been a flawed version, but there were still elements of truth in there. I heard of Jesus all my life. I believed He was the risen Savior. I believed He was born of a virgin and died on the cross and was risen again. I believed all that. You know what it did for me? Not much. But when I saw Him, oh, it's true. Because you see, I don't think we really believe what we say we believe. I don't think we really have it in our hearts, all the litany and everything that's supposed to be upheld in Christendom. I believed all that. But I hadn't seen Him. And when He was getting a hold of me, oh, what turmoil. Why? because you're fighting against it. I couldn't have been wrong all this time. I don't want this. Do I want this? I don't want the alternative. What do I do? Stop kicking against the bricks. The only remedy is to give ourselves over to the light.
Amen.
We've been walking in blindness. And this flood of light, when we received our sight, is staggering. Oh, you remember that? That flood of light is just like, oh wow, okay, now what? Oh, there was much left to learn. Oh yeah, there was much left to learn. But now we're enlightened. Now we've seen Christ. If we get it, we're going to be jealous of His holiness.
Yes. Amen.
But as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Not remember to be holy, or take time to be holy, or be holy. You find yourself slipping? Get on your knees. God, make me holy. God, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. That's the answer. Be holy. Is that our longing? Is that our desire? Be holy, for I am holy. To be like Jesus in every way. Is that our desire? Do we search the Scriptures for loopholes or to conform to them?
Come on.
Without holiness, the Bible says, no man shall see the Lord.
Right.
I remember the first time I read that. And I thought, oh, well, that confirms everything I thought about everything else. Okay, now we have to define holiness. Without holiness, no man. You better find out what holiness means.
Yes.
It means being like Him. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Did Jesus tolerate sin? Take a glance at the cross and you tell me whether God tolerated sin or not. Take a glance at the cross someday and instead of picturing Jesus up there, put yourself there. It's the only way you're going to see it right. I am crucified to this world and this world is crucified to me. There should be no connection. There should be nothing there that entices and draws. It's been put to death. Sure, we have battles. Sure, we have besetting sins that need to be dealt with. Sure, we have things. We're not perfect. But if your ultimate desire is not holiness, you haven't seen Jesus. Holiness isn't an arbitrary concept. It's not just something, oh yeah, just be holy, be holy. Just because you happen to be a member of a church somewhere. Oh, I'm holy because I belong to so-and-so. No, that's not how it works. Holiness isn't an arbitrary concept. It is set apart for God's service. It's committed to His program. That's what it is. You want to be holy? Set yourself apart. You get in God's program. That's how you're holy. Depart not from the way. You know, a lot of people think Jesus died on the cross, you know, just to make holiness unnecessary. You know, all our sins are nailed to the cross. Oh. Oh. Jesus didn't die to make holiness unnecessary. He died to make it possible.
Amen.
We can live holy.
Amen.
Does that mean we're not prone to backsliding? Does that mean we're not prone to mistake? Does that mean we're not apt to fall? No! It means that that's our desire and our longing, and it's typically the direction that we're going.
Right.
It's what we want. If we want to see the Lord, be holy. Grab a hold of His program and hold on tight. You want to be holy? Then do what you know to do. Right now. Like I said earlier, you first get born again, the only thing you know is, I can't sin no more. You really get born again. First thing you know, I can't sin anymore. I got to please God. First step.
Yeah.
Do that. And He's going to, and He'll reveal the next step to you.
Right.
So do what you know to do right now. Look into the perfect law of liberty and continue therein. You know, when we understand Jesus, who He is, what He did for us, when we see Christ, when we get it, we're going to be full of joy. Filled with joy. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, that is with the natural eye that He's talking about, ye love. You haven't seen Him. You haven't glazed your eyes upon Him, yet you love Him. Why? Because you see Him with a spiritual eye. You get it. In whom, though now ye see Him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Does that mean we're always going to be happy and smiling? That's not what joy is. Biblical joy is having the understanding of who Christ is at all times. I know who Christ is. I have seen Him. I am full of joy. Yet at the same time, I can weep with those who weep and mourn with those who mourn. And yet it is in joy of the Lord that we can do so.
Amen.
What other person on the earth can do that? None of them. We share His attitudes and His assessments. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, but that by these ye might be made partakers of the divine nature. By these exceeding great and precious promises. And then He says, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, escape the world. You see, when we see Him, we'll be like Him. And to some degree, that's relevant right now. That's relevant right now. Besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity or love. True love. Biblical love. Not syrupy infatuation. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to this though. But he that lacketh these things is blind. Hadn't seen Jesus. And cannot see afar off. No direction. And hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Lose sight of Jesus, and you lose everything. Peter gives a perfect prescription for seeing Christ right there. You know, when we see Jesus, we're going to abhor sin. We mentioned this earlier. We're going to abhor sin. God hates sin. So must we. You know, the first step in any declension, the first step in any turning back or any stepping aside, the first step in that is losing sight of Christ. Taking your eyes off of Him. You know, just because we've seen Him, it doesn't make us impervious to deception. If we have wandering eyes, the devil is sure to attract our attention. And he will try to mimic what we think we know about Jesus. Just to kind of pull that string. Oh. Divert our direction. Divert our attention. He's going to throw in there pictures of deceit. We've got to discern. Okay, is that Jesus or is that not Jesus? Okay, who is this Jesus you're presenting to me? Is he biblical? Does he conform to the scriptures? If so, then okay, we can look deeper into this. If not, toss him out. It's a ploy of the devil. If the Christ we see isn't reflected in the scriptures, isn't revealed in the totality of all of the scriptures, we can go to the whole of scripture and find nothing that would contradict this Christ that we see. But if he isn't reflected in the scriptures, then we're seeing a caricature and not the real thing.
Right.
If you're presenting to me a Christ, and I can go in the Bible and say, God would do this right here. It says right here, God would do this. And over here, the principle is reiterated. It says it right here. If I can do that, I guess you're the one that needs to be conforming. Don't change the Bible to fit you. You change to fit the Bible.
Yeah, that's right.
If the love we express isn't reflection, is not a reflection of the law of God, our love is counterfeit.
Right.
And the Christ that we are presenting is a fraud. You know that? If our love isn't a reflection of the scriptures, our Christ is a fraud.
Right.
That's prevalent out there.
Yes.
Everybody wants to love. Everybody wants to be syrupy. We just got to love people. What does that mean? Of course we've just got to love people. You tell me what you mean.
Right.
Oh, search the definitions, people, because everybody has a different one. Don't just agree with somebody because they said, yes, Jesus says we're to love. What do you mean by that? I used to get ridiculed for asking those questions. But you know what? They saved me. Those questions kept me from much error.
Yeah.
When we see Christ, we will long to promote His agenda. You know, one of the strangest things I saw when I got born again, because, I mean, you get born again, it's just like all of a sudden, oh, everything's Jesus. I've seen the risen Lord. Everything's about Jesus. I want to talk about Jesus. Everybody wants to talk. I want to talk to everybody about Jesus. And one of the strangest things is when I got born again, the strangest thing was that I was shocked to find out that nobody else wanted to talk about it.
Yeah.
Well, wait. I came to talk to you because like you go to church and you've told me about Him before.
Right.
You don't need to be a fanatic. You don't need to wear your religion on the church sleeves. Some of the things I heard. Oh, where else would you wear it? That's what I thought. I mean, instantly, what do you mean? But yeah, nobody wanted to talk about Jesus. Or at least the biblical one. Everybody has their little Jesus that they like to put out. Don't go too deep with that one either, because it's not a deep subject. But nobody wanted to talk about Jesus. And then I thought, okay, I know what it is. They just don't know. And so surely, with more information, they'll want to follow Jesus. Nope. They had all the information. What I neglected to see at that point was I had had all the information too. When I did the same thing. Don't talk to me about that. Jesus, why do you want to do that? Just calm down. Be normal. Say, I said, be normal. Normal. Listen to me. People that haven't seen Jesus, they're the abnormal ones.
Yeah.
They're the nuts. No, they had the information. They just didn't want me showing them His image. They didn't want to see Him. Hearing's fine with me. I've heard enough. Go away. We can only learn of Him when we see Him for who He is. Otherwise, you're learning something that's not right.
Right.
You're learning a deception. You have to see Him as He is. He's reflected in the Scriptures. You know, this stuff isn't rocket science, so that's why it just boggles my mind to see so many different denominations and all these different theologians and all this different stuff. Because it's not that hard. You know what that tells me? All that other stuff It's facades to keep them from seeing Jesus.
Right.
I don't want to see him. Put this up there. Yeah, that looks better. That's all that is.
Right.
Because this isn't rocket science. You know, when we see him for who he is, we're naturally drawn to other believers. We desire to seek out fellowship. First thing I thought, we got to go to church. First thing I said, I think, we need to find a church. We need to go to church. I didn't know where to go. I just picked one. I picked one my dad happened to be going to. I went there. That wasn't right. It took some growing for me to realize that. When I started reading Jeremiah and seeing all these things, I thought, oh, wow, this isn't right. We had to grow. But we knew that we needed fellowship. We knew that we had to get into a church body and be something there, to do something there. I've got to get involved. We've got to do something. Why? Because I saw Jesus, and I wanted to support him.
Amen.
I wanted to help him.
Amen.
And with unfeigned love of the brethren, we jump in, and we do, and we go, and we help God promote his program. Once you see Jesus, it's hard not to have a heart filled with compassion for the lost. The Bible says that God is not willing that any perish, but that all come to repentance. You know, we know the Bible says, how shall they hear without a preacher? Oh, God says he's not willing that any repent, or that any
perish.
They must repent. He wants them to repent. You read that, and if you've seen Jesus, you're like, oh yeah, that makes sense. Why else would he have done that on the cross? The Bible says, But he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. The repentant, he's talking about. Mm-hmm. Yea, many a time turned he his anger away and did not stir up his wrath. Full of compassion. The Bible says, while we were yet his enemies, Christ died for us. Can you think of any humanistic rationale that could support something like that? Now think about it. You're going to die for your enemy? I thought the purpose was the opposite. No. Christ died for his enemies, so that they might be reconciled to God, because it was the only way it could happen. When we see him, we realize that not everything that claims to be is of him. Discernment only comes through knowledge of him. The best knowledge of him is through the Scriptures.
Right.
You read the Scriptures, you get well versed in the Scriptures, and guess what? Discernment's going to come. You're going to see things. God's going to reveal things to you. God's going to bring the memory of verses of the Bible and of situations to your memory. And so we are only as discerning as we are devoted to him. There are many who say that they see but are blind. They think they can discern, but you rub your chin and you think, you can't even separate holy and profane. They're not very discerning. What are we going to do about this? You want discernment? You know, the Bible talks about the priests who remain faithful when Israel went astray. It says in Ezekiel, and they shall teach my people the difference between the holy and the profane, and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean. His priests who remain faithful. God says, you want to learn how to distinguish between the holy and the profane, the clean and the unclean? Follow somebody that knows. This is why a biblical church body is so vitally important. The best way to see Jesus is to have those who see Him to point the way. If you're concerned about whether you've seen Jesus yet or not, follow somebody who has. Look to someone who has. The only one that cannot discern, you've heard this before, or I've seen it a million times. I laugh because it's so foolish, but if you've ever been around anybody that's drunk, you know the only people that don't recognize the fact that he's drunk? The other drunks. The only one that can't discern a drunk is a drunkard. You know why? Because their senses are impaired. If our senses are impaired by sin and the world, we're not going to be able to discern the Lord.
Right.
Well, everything's fine. That's because your senses have been impaired. If there's sin, if there's something wrong, if you're not just getting it, maybe you're drunk. Strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Senses exercised. How do you exercise? You work at it. How do you exercise your mind to discern both good and evil? Work at the book. Listen to doctrine, this doctrinal instruction and teaching. Actually do what's been said.
Amen.
Actually follow instruction. Don't just say, oh yeah, I agree with that. I'm going to walk this way though. No, well, if you're not doing what has been instructed, you don't really believe it.
Right.
It's simple. Brother Mark has used the doctor analogy numerous times. If you don't do what your doctor says, you don't really have faith in him. Oh, I got the best doctor in the world. Well, what did he tell you to do? He said I need to do this regimen of exercises every other day. Well, do you do it? No, I don't think I need to do that. Well, you think you're a better doctor than he is? You just said you had the best doctor in the world. If you have faith in your doctor, you're going to do what your doctor says.
Right.
If you have faith in your pastor, you're going to do what your pastor says. If you have faith in your church, you're going to follow the direction of your church. If you have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to do what Jesus says. You're going to dig into the Scriptures until you see Him. To discern. Exercise to discern. Their senses have been exercised to discern both good and evil. Adam Clark says on that point, who by constant hearing, believing, praying, and obedience use all the graces of God's Spirit. That's what it means to exercise. To exercise to discern. Constant hearing. That means you're listening. Believing. That means you're putting it into practice. Praying, that means you're seeking God for confirmation. You're seeking God for direction. And obedience. Oh, actually taking the prescription. It's obedience. We've got to get beyond this world's presentation of this superficial Christianity.
Yes.
We need to see Christ. We need to embrace Him.
Amen.
We don't need to be discouraged. We just look to Jesus. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Look unto Jesus. Look unto Jesus. Okay? What does that mean? Everybody wants to put on some mystical, super spiritual thing. Look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. Your Bible's over there. You want to look to Jesus? Open that book.
Amen. Amen.
That's how you look to Jesus.
Right.
We don't look to our feelings to find Jesus.
Right.
Many claim to have a relationship with Jesus who have deposed him from the throne of their hearts. They've set him aside. Yes, Jesus, me and Jesus have a relationship. Jesus rules over my heart. Really? You know, that will be evidenced.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I think Brother Paul told somebody one time when we were talking somewhere. Where was that? Oh, yeah, we were addressing some people. He said, there's ways to establish that. There's ways to show that. Yep, there sure is. Have you seen Christ? There are ways to reveal that. We don't need to be consulting our feelings to find Jesus. We don't need to be trying to drag him down from above or up from beneath. What did Paul say? By what saith it? But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. This is the seed of rationalism and meditation that he's talking about. Not the heart that they talk about. About the all my feeling, the deep sea of their feelings. No, this is rationalization. This is meditation. This is the seat of understanding when Paul is saying this. Even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. What did the apostles preach? Oh, just accept Jesus into your heart. That always sounded backwards to me anyway, and I figured it out. Accept Jesus into your heart. No, you got it backwards. You don't accept Jesus. Jesus accepts you. That's how it's done. You get in line. You see it. You get it. You start walking it. And Jesus accepts you.
Right.
Mm-hmm. No, they preach the Bible. That's what the apostles preach. Genesis to Revelation. They preach the whole Bible. Well, they were preaching there wasn't a New Testament. They were writing it. Yeah, they were preaching it. It's there, the whole thing. That's what they preached. They didn't leave anything out.
Right.
I have declared unto you the whole counsel of God, Paul said. My hands are clean. Jesus Christ is ensconced in the pages of this book. When we say look to Jesus, we mean look to the Word. You know, I remember that blind man that Jesus was healing and said, I see men as trees walking. Though our eyes are open, God doesn't just pour everything out on us all at the same time. It might seem like it sometimes because of just this abundance of revelation. I remember when I got born again, I thought, oh, I can't do this, I can't do that. Oh, not can't, but I don't even want to. I want to please Jesus. I thought that was it. I thought I was done. He poured everything out on me. I got it all. I understand everything. I understood everything I needed to understand then.
Right.
Yep. Oh, but if he'd have poured out on me then what I know now, I don't know if I could have handled it. He turns on the light. And in our blind state, it seems like floodlights have been switched on. But in his mercy, he's only allowed a beam to penetrate into the darkness. Something to reveal himself. And to allow us to see what we are, who he is. It's just a beam. And as we seek him and walk in his ways, walk in the light as he is in the light, and have fellowship with him, then he reveals more of himself to us.
Right.
He gradually turns the dimmer switch brighter and brighter. More understanding. More and more. feeling stagnant, maybe you're not. Maybe it's because you've taken your eyes off of Jesus. If you're not getting something that you even used to get, or that I feel like I should be progressed farther than I am, have you been walking in the light as He is in the light? Have you been gazing upon Him? Is He your everything? You know, hearing and seeing is oft used in the Bible as expressions of comprehension and understanding. All men have the capacity to comprehend and understand this simple truth. Yet they don't. Why? That's a simple answer. Because they don't want to.
Right.
Before I got to the point that I didn't want to see Jesus. And if you think, oh, I was always searching for Jesus, and I was all, and yet you were living a life of sin, oh, God was always with me. No, He wasn't. He may have been convicting you. He may have been dragging you and pulling you. He may have been revealing Himself in pieces to you so that you would repent. Oh, absolutely. But He wasn't with you. He wasn't with me. I was against Him. And it wasn't until He got a hold of me and I actually saw Him that I wanted to understand. If you haven't continued walking in that light, you're not in the light anymore. This is a forward progressive thing. You have to walk in the things that He reveals to you, or He's not going to shed any more on you.
Right.
And eventually you're going to break back through into darkness. Does that trouble you? Oh, it troubles me every day. I think, oh God, don't let my stupidity and my error and my infirmity and my character or whatever thing or whatever it is you want to call it, don't let that hinder me. Don't let me step back into the darkness. Well, because the devil has a master plan. He knows how to tweak those thoughts and everything else to make it seem like, oh, no, no, it's not dark, it's still light. When we talked about the drunk a while ago, oh, it's not dark, it's still light. Keep arguing, I'm fine.
Yeah.
No, if you're not diligent to observe and to do
right
everything He has commanded, then at the very best, you're stagnant, which doesn't last very long. People, listen to me. If you get stagnant, you better get up and shake yourself. That don't last very long.
Right.
Because the next step is utter darkness. And if the light that is in them be darkness, how great is that darkness?
Right.
I think I'm fine. You're in utter darkness. But all men have the capacity to comprehend, they just don't want to. Son of man, thou dwellest in the midst of a rebellious house, which have eyes to see and see not. They have ears to hear and hear not, for they are a rebellious house. They have eyes, they have ears that were made for sight and sound. They don't want to hear, and they don't want to see. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed. Lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Lest at any time they should get it. Oh, I can't. So what happens if we close our eyes, refuse truth, reject instruction? The image of Christ that we had begins to fade. And we slowly replace Christ with ourselves. That's not Christ on the throne anymore, my friend. That's you. Mm-hmm. You see people like that? This world's flooding. And it breaks my heart. Think what it's doing to God's. So when we replace Christ with ourselves, and that still small voice just becomes the roaring of a whisperer. If the way seems difficult, in a bad way, if the way seems too laborious, but perhaps you just haven't seen it, or maybe you've lost sight of it. None of us have arrived. We still see through a glass darkly, but we can be confident of this. As long as we are willing to be corrected by Scripture, as long as we are willing to hear and see Christ as He is, as long as we are willing to chip away at ourselves, if we are willing to adjust what we think we know to conform to Him as revealed in Scripture, then we can be transformed into His image. And we're heading in the right direction. Then we're on the right track. We may see through a glass darkly, yeah. But we have an obligation to search out this risen Lord. Not just to hear about Him. Search Him out. To see Him. To know Him. Once Christ has been revealed, we're no longer blind. And we're out without excuse. Jesus said to the Pharisees there that complained about, "Are you saying we're blind?" And Jesus said, "If you were blind, you should have no sin. But now you say, we see. Therefore, your sin remaineth."
Right.
That's what we were talking about earlier. Oh, I got it. I see. I got it. I hear you. It's that. They said, "I hear you. Oh, if you say you see, then what is the bleeding of the sheep that I hear? Your sin remaineth." You want to see the risen Lord? You want to know if you've seen the right one? Listen to this. "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What thou seest, write in a book, and see it, send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as they were burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead." Are you still standing? You haven't seen Jesus.
Amen. Part.